Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams
and Elizabeth Wallace, and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 455. And tonight, we're recapping Welcome to Night Vale number 266, The Return of Poetry Week. And as Cecil says in the very beginning of the episode, it's been 11 years since the last Poetry Week.
11 years. And he said things went very badly the last time they did this, which is why it was banned. But he's not going to go into detail about what went wrong. He's probably not allowed to go into detail about what went wrong, but he says it rhymes with log park.
Yeah, I think I remember vaguely what happened on that one. Don't go into the dog park. Anyway, so he's expecting hundreds of poems from everyone, because I guess that's what the librarians feed off of, and we definitely don't want hungry librarians. So the first one he goes into is from Nazir al-Mujahid, and it's called An Ode to Francis, Both of You.
Yeah, and it's a very nice poem, but it almost sounds like, I mean, it's very, very romantic, but the ending makes it sound like when he dies that he'll be reunited with the other Francis, which is really kind of dark. But then again, that story was kind of dark.
Yeah, if you don't remember, I mean, it's basically he made a choice to try and be with the Francis that he was in love with and instead managed to kill the Francis that he actually loved, including an entire world with her. So it was really, so I still haven't forgiven them for that one. That was awful.
But Cecil read the poem aloud, and then he told Nazir that it was a really nice poem, but it just didn't have enough dolls with like staring blank eyes and a whole lot of other creepy things like snakes with human skin. And just, you need to add those elements if you want to have a really traditional poem.
Yeah, Cecil sounds like a traditionalist when it comes to poetry, for sure. So after that, we actually get horoscopes, and they're all in rhyme, which is great. And I didn't feel like they were particularly mean to Capricorn. They were kind of mean to everybody.
Yeah, they were kind of mean to everybody. I think Capricorn's was something like, Capricorns, the aliens have arrived. We'll keep it short and sweet. They want to know, are you light or dark meat?
I like that one. So the next poem is actually from Harrison Kipp, who is a longtime character on this show, but we've recently found out that he's part of a, Cecil never really wants to call it a cult, but it's totally a cult and they sacrifice people. And that's really, it's called like the Hollow Log, and it's all about sacrificing people on a hollow log. It is definitely dark. I think Cecil likes it a bit better.
Yeah, a little bit better, but he says it's not really very deep. And he says there's no hidden meanings into it. I mean, that's why we call it art, because it means there's nothing else there but the surface. Like, yeah. So Cecil's still missing all the underlying subtext.
Yeah, Cecil, he said that if it was actually something else that actually meant anything, we'd call it something different, like mind fertilizer. I'm like, that's fair.
I kind of like that. The sponsors today started out with saying that nothing is above you, nothing is below you. Basically, there's nothing all around you. You're in an empty void. You contain multitudes, but you are also a single person. Einstein's Brothers Bagels, they're already inside you.
Do you guys have Einstein Brothers where you are?
Probably. I haven't really looked for it, actually. It's been so long since I've been to a bagel place that wasn't like, an airport.
Yeah, no, seriously. They're all over here. Or at least they used to be before the pandemic. It's so weird. People are just like, they'll be coming in town. They're like, oh, what cool restaurants are there around here? I'm like, man, years later, and I still don't know what's still open. You know, I just, the pandemic did a number on the restaurant industry, obviously. Okay, so Cecil is a little irritated at this point because everybody keeps talking about a woman in a blue suit who's wandering around and eating people. And it's obviously our town founder who came out of her chrysalis a while ago. That's not really important. We need poems. You need to focus.
Put your energy into the writing process, not into calling up the station to reporting people getting eaten by Tabitha Littlefield, I think is what the founder's name is.
Yeah, yeah. Cecil says also it's an honor to be eaten by her. She's been dead a long time. She's very hungry.
So. Next poem is from the Night Vale Department of Commerce, and it is an announcement about the fact that there are no more supplies left in Night Vale because nothing can get in. And Cecil reads all of this as a poem without really paying attention to the fact that everybody's going to be starving soon because there's no more food in the grocery stores.
Yeah, yeah. In order to have trade, you have to have people who can actually get into Night Vale and get out of Night Vale on a regular basis instead of purely by accident, which is usually the way to get in and out of Night Vale. So more on that later.
Yeah, And Cecil says that it's not a very traditional structure, but he does like the fact that the ending of the poem announced the writer's names, which he thought was rather exciting. And it mentions science, which is really erotic, but, you know, so he kind of likes it now.
Yeah, it's fine. He had to just sit with it for a little bit. So Cecil's finding that people are trying to deliver their poems into him by hand. He appreciates the effort, except for the fact that Tabitha is wandering around eating people, but she's also eating the poems. He is less concerned about people being eaten, more about the poems being eaten. He says, you should just go ahead and email them. He actually reads out an email address. We should probably try and test that one out to see if it's a real email address.
We should at some point. Yeah, try to. I'm sure they're going to get bombarded with emails now. But
oh my God, yes.
But he suddenly gets an email, and it is the next poem that is being sent in by Janice and Abby, his niece and his sister. And it is called There's No Water in the Pool. And it's very nice. It's just, it's talking about all the lovely memories, but now all there is concrete. And we can remember how good it was to be in the pool, but it just isn't there now. And then there's, he said, oh, and she also included an explanation, and it's from Abby. And Abby is talking about how worried she is about Steve and the fact that she doesn't really think that she can talk to him about his job. And he seems to be okay, but he's always busy. So it's like Labyrinth HQ has sort of removed everything until there's only a Steve-shaped hole in the world. But anyway, she was glad to write the poem. It was very cathartic, and she hopes she reads it out. But please don't read any of this out on the air.
Great. Typical Cecil. Every time. But he jumps straight from there to the fact that, okay, now he admits that Tabitha, the town founder, she is out of control. She is eating so many people. He thinks it would be a lot better if everybody would just stay inside. He knows that people want to experience the nice, crisp spring sunshine, but maybe better for now to stay inside and just listen to the radio about the weather. Then we go to the weather.
Which, unfortunately, I managed to tune out completely as I was trying to catch up on my notes. So, sorry.
It's called Fix-Its and Favorites by Luggage. That's the name of the band, Luggage. And I wrote down pop rock. It was just female voices singing a catchy tune. It was pleasant. It was nice. Nothing wrong with it at all.
No. I just, for some reason, completely spaced out. All right. Well, then we get back from the weather, and Tabitha has now eaten so many poems. I mean, she's eating like one in every 50 people in town right now, but the poems are a problem. Everybody's going to have to work overtime to write more poems to meet the librarian's demands. But what she does as she's wandering around is she walks into the dog park, and Cecil's like, oh, why can't this town manage to do Poetry Week right?
So she goes into the dog park, goes straight up to the obelisk that's in the park. She licks the obelisk and the poem that's on it. And all of a sudden these arms start coming out of her, and she ends up skittering up to the top of it and gets a forked tongue and hisses at everybody, and everybody waits to see what's going to happen. Is it going to be the end times? No. Nothing happens. She's still up on top of the obelisk now.
She still looks like a woman in a blue suit who's kind of tall and has about 17 arms. And the dog park gates, I guess they stay open. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of anticlimactic. Everybody sort of wandered away.
Yeah, I like how there was one person who was like, I've seen weirder. And then they tell a very weird story about a joke and milk and a tortoise. And it's just, it's rambling.
It just keeps going. And then he takes out a stick and waves it in the air. And this flock of starling comes out, and then he disappears.
Yeah, and it's pretty weird, I have to admit. Okay, so Cecil, he's proud of Night Vale for having come a long way. You know, years and years ago would have been a terrible thing for the dog park gates be open, but now they're open. Everybody's just moving on along. Everything's really great, except for the fact that he has no groceries anymore, and he doesn't think the Ralphs is ever going to get restocked.
Nope. And that's pretty much it. He signs off with a rhyming couplet and then ends the episode.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what happens. I mean, part of Night Vale's charm is the fact that they are kind of cut off from the outside world, but now that time seems to have caught up with them, they really do need to actually get some groceries in.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is it for Night Vale. The other thing we wanted to talk about is just random trailers that have wandered across our feed recently. Some of them were actually, you know, a few weeks old, but you know how we are, so it takes us a little while. first thing we wanted to talk about, it actually, there was a new one that dropped recently, but we wanted to talk about the original. It's the trailer for 28 Years Later, the one that just has the poem in it.
Just the poem. And it is it is read aloud. I think the recording is from something like 1915 by a popular actor at the time. So it's got that hiss and the popping sound from an old recording. And the person performing it, I mean, it's a poem. It's Rudyard Kipling, Boots, and it's apparently about the Boer War and in Africa. And just, I mean, it was horrifying. I mean, whatever aspect of that war that you look at, I mean, you've got people being scooped up into concentration camps to get them out of the way. You've got relentless murdering of entire towns. You've got British soldiers that are getting attacked with guerrilla tactics, which they don't know how to deal with. And Boots is all about that. There's no discharge in the war, that sort of thing. And just, it gives me chills just listening to it, because the performer just gets more and more unhinged as the poem goes along, and then all of the stuff on the screen is just ramping up as well. So I'm looking forward to that. But you know what we got to do first?
We got to watch 28 Weeks Later.
Why have we never done this? It's freaking Jeremy Renner in this movie. We should have done this a long time ago.
I don't know. The only thing I know about it is at some point someone did a fan photo edit of Jeremy Renner in that, where he's supporting a woman who's walking along, obviously injured. They did such a great job putting Scarlett Johansson into that shot. It is so good. I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, what's this movie from? And they're like, it's fan edit. I'm like, oh, boy, this is a good edit.
Yeah, though. It's really I'm nice sure, thing. Boy.
Yeah, no, we gotta watch that one at some point. So.
And also, 28 years later looks... That looks pretty scary. I mean, yeah, it looks like intense. We're going to see stuff that happened at the beginning of the plague, as well as what's been happening so many years later.
Yeah. Wow. I love 28 Days Later. Partly, spoilers, it has a little bit of a happy ending.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I love that. And that's one of the things that I don't like a lot of times hearing about alternate endings, because we saw a few of them and they on IMDb and they were not happy. I'm like, oh, I don't like a universe where these could have existed.
Oh, so sad. I keep forgetting that Christopher Eccleston is in 28 Days Later. He's the one I promised them women. So fun. Okay, so the other trailer that crossed our path is the trailer for the new Superman movie. And it's... Boy, it actually got me a little choked up watching it.
It definitely did that for me. Now, I saw this at the Alamo Drafthouse because Nathan saw that they were going to be showing Pink Floyd in Pompeii, which is like old documentary / concert movie. Really trippy. I mean, it was very good. Immersive as all get out.
Nice.
Well, we saw the trailers ahead of time, so I got to see this on the big screen, the new Superman trailer. And Nathan is just like... Here we go again, which, you know, of course, it's been 5 minutes. They need to reboot the Superman franchise again. And also, he's kind of tired of superhero movies at this point.
Yeah, but as are a lot.
I'm not sorry. I am absolutely susceptible to being manipulated by music and good effects and a really well-timed slow-mo scene.
Oh my goodness.
That bit with Superman saving the little girl from all the stuff that's flying at her.
Yes.
That was great.
Or then he whistles and Crypto, the super dog, and comes to save him. I'm like, oh my God, and a dog.
Fingers crossed. I know nothing about this, other than the fact that James Gunn is the director, of course, director of Guardians of the Galaxy, and you were the one that had to point out that Nathan Fillion's going to be in this one.
Oh, yes. So, of course, I follow Nathan Fillion on all of the social medias. yeah, he's playing Guy Gardner, and they have embraced the fact that Guy Gardner is, like, not traditionally attractive at all and has a bowl haircut, and so his Super Bowl spot was basically, like, the only bowl I carry about, and he's, like, touching his hair all sexy and everything. I'm like, yes, all of this, that's great, you know?
He is leaning into that look, definitely.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. You could see him really briefly in the trailer, too, just for a second. I had almost forgotten that he was in that. I was like, oh, that's right. That's Guy Gardner in this. Yeah, it's going to be interesting because it's not just Superman. They're getting Green Lanterns in there as well.
And so Hot Girl, which I don't think I've ever seen a movie with Hot Girl. I might have if I bothered to watch any other DC movies other than the first Wonder Woman movie, but maybe this one will be the exception.
Oh, fingers crossed. Oh, my goodness.
And then another trailer that we watched is the Tron Ares trailer. And I think people like bagging on the first, on the Tron Legacy one, just because the storyline was kind of thin and some of the CGI to de-age folks was maybe a little not convincing. I love that movie.
I love it.
I love the music. I love the effects. All of it. So I really hope they do a good job with the second one. And I saw that in the trailer that Gillian Anderson is in this. So that's a nice surprise.
I know they're getting like some decent names in these things. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm, but yeah, that was one of a handful of movies because I'm pretty cheap about going out and buying stuff a lot of the times. But it's one of those movies where the day after I saw it, I didn't actually buy a CD. I actually figured out how to buy the album on streaming at the time because it was, and then to hear people being like, oh, Tron Legacy, it's really just a 2-hour music video for Daft Punk. And I'm like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's the best music video ever, if that's the case.
God, yes. The other one, of course, being Firefly. I immediately bought that one.
Oh, yeah, that one was great.
I mean, when I say Firefly, I mean Serenity, of course, but because you know what? The music in the TV show was fine, but it was really just a Western soundtrack. But oh my goodness, the orchestral stuff they did in Serenity. Wow.
Okay, now another trailer that we saw when we were at the Alamo Drafthouse was the upcoming movie by Wes Anderson, The Phoenician Scheme.
Oh.
And it's a Wes Anderson movie. You can definitely tell that. It couldn't be anybody else's. It also looks like he really wants to continue with the sort of feel that he had from Asteroid City. It's kind of like really, really bright colors. And, you know, Scarlett Johansson's in that. And like Tom Hanks is in it. Everybody's in it. Like, think of a Wes Anderson movie. Yeah, they're probably in it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. But not a trailer, but just as long as we're talking about movies and everything, we did another one of our watch parties where Catherine and Nathan were watching in North Carolina. I'm watching out in San Diego, and Mom and Hannah. And I think Dad watching, or was he watching the news?
I think he may have been watching.
Oh, okay. We all sat down together to watch Tombstone in memory of Val Kilmer. And I swear to God, I don't know that I watched it like any more recently than like 2000. I mean, it's been a while.
It's been recent for me. I mean, when we went to it in Amazon, we have to select the start over option. So obviously it's been pretty recently, but oh my God, Val Kilmer steals every scene. His line delivery, whatever he's doing with his accent, was just perfect, was spot on. He could be so dismissive. I mean, that whole bit when he's like, he's been at the gambling table for like more than a day, and he's like poking at Ike Clanton, who's obviously getting into a murderous rage because he's losing, and Doc Holliday says, maybe this just isn't your game. I know, let's have a spelling contest.
But the thing is, I mean, his character has such a mouth on him, but I love it when they've got a mouth, but they've got the skills to back it up.
Yes, like, you know, exactly.
Plenty of them who don't, who get their asses kicked, but oh my God, he always demonstrates. He's like, I talk this way because I can get away with it, you know? It's just so fun.
And then Kurt Russell, who was looking so good in this movie, but him being menacing or him just being utterly deadly, like Billy Bob freaking Thornton's in this movie, and he's being a bully, and he's like thinks that he's going to intimidate Wyatt Earp, and Wyatt Earp just walks up to him and smacks him in the face a couple of times and is challenging him. At one point, he looks at him and says, "You going to do something? You're going to stand there and bleed."
So good. It's just such a great Western, you know? It's just all out fun.
And we'll definitely post the our conversation about that.
Yes.
Of course, Hannah always mentions her bit about their mustache game and the emoji that she used on that. And I'm just like, I was just sitting there howling with laughter at that. I missed part of what was on the screen because of that. And the only other update I wanted to say was that I finally took out that wind blade kit that we worked on.
Ooh.
How long long ago was it we worked on that? Has it been a year and a half or 2 years now?
I think it's a year and a half. I just ran across the photos on my phone. I'm like, oh, these photos are still, oh my God, it's been that long. Oh no.
So I finally managed to finish the chest plate bit, and I've gotten started on the waist and hip section. Yeah. So it's like, I think there's 90 different steps, you know, wow. Each step has all the little individual pieces in them and how they put together. And I'm on step 20. Oh, so boy. I might try to put all this together into a box after I've done a few more steps and mail it to you. And then we can just go back and forth on this silly thing until we finally finish it.
I mean, we had plans of putting it together while we were in the same state and plans to like film the process. Cause that'd be really funny. We just need to get it done.
We need to get it done. And also it's not going to be a great video if we tried to do that because I put together like a few steps in the last couple of days. And so much of it is just sitting there going, how is this supposed to snap together? Yeah. And just having to sit and fix and push and mess with it for a while. And then suddenly it snaps in place. Then you're like, oh, and then you get to move on to the next bit.
Oh God. I don't know how people do this for fun.
Well, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
All these pieces are about the size of your fingernail. So they are very small.
Yeah. But it is a really good looking kit though.
I mean,
the face is like perfect.
Yeah.
It's really nice. Yeah. Very cool. But I guess that will wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out PixelatedGeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. Funny story, Hugh actually got to go see a preview of Thunderbolts. Thunderbolts with an asterisk on the end, which apparently is important, though I don't know why. He had posted it and I hadn't, you know, done the edit on it and cleared it in a day. And so I felt really bad about that. So I went ahead and published it and then sent out the social medias. And I was about to send him a link to it. And I realized he had sent me a message saying, hey, this can't go live until the 29th because it's embargoed. And I'm like, shit. So I immediately pulled everything down. But as of time that this episode posts, it will be up because that'll be past the embargo. So check out that. He did like it. He does like everything, but he did seem to really, really like this one.
Yes, so I definitely want to see Florence Pugh in more things. I haven't seen her in enough stuff.
Yeah, and she's playing the same character that we like. So that's great.
Oh, yes, that's great.
Yeah. Anyway, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So next week, I think we're actually going to have another Night Vale episode because we had sort of postponed this one. So we will have Night Vale. We will watch some more Star Trek Lower Decks, I imagine.
I need to do that. I haven't done that in a couple of weeks now.
Yeah. We can watch another episode of Black Mirror, perhaps. I watched one that is has some familiar faces in it. I can't remember the name of it right now. It's not great, but it's not terrible. It's the only reason why it's not good is it's terribly predictable. But it is still, it's nice and it is not so depressing that it'll just bum you out.
Okay,
so maybe you could watch that one too.
I was about to say, I feel like I have to have these episodes vetted before I can watch them because I don't want to be bummed out.
Yeah, fair. So anyway, that and whatever else distracts us. So one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later. Einstein's Brothers Bagels. You're there already in you. Now let me try that again. But the next poem is an email, and it's from his sister Jan. No, I'm sorry. But the next poem is an email. Let me try that again. Uh-huh.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. Well, we... Man, I'm having trouble tonight. Oh, God, and my computer is starting to...
Poor computer, out of breath. But it's like, it's that combination of, like, he's got such a mouth. Oops, sorry, cat. Oop, ow, ow. Just ripped the earphones out of my ears.
Ow.
Oh, where's my, hang on. The little pluggy thing is gone. Wait a minute. Cat, damn it.
She ate it.
Well, she might have. What the hell? Give me a minute. There it is. Turned inside out. Hang on. Recombobulate here. Okay. All right, I'm back.